Good morning. It's good to see all of you again. As Catherine mentioned, my name is Elise Krapuschutz, and I am going to give you my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. Half of my childhood was spent in South Mississippi and half in San Antonio, Texas. My dad was, until about a month ago when he retired, a Southern Baptist pastor. I was baptized when I was 6 into a church full of genuinely kind and gracious people. We were always, obviously, very involved in church. We were there every time the doors were open. The Baptist churches we were in did a spectacular job. They taught me Bible stories. They helped me memorize lots of scripture. I was encouraged at home to read my Bible daily, and I did so from a really young age. I was a pretty obedient kid. I made good grades. I did what my parents said. I rarely got into trouble. I went into public schools. And by the time I reached high school in San Antonio, there were a number of people in my classes who thought it was cool to be an atheist. I didn't have any significant answers to their questions, which bothered me, but I had a lot of other things going, so I didn't spend too much time thinking about it. However, the seed was planted partly because I hadn't ever grasped how the Bible applied to the world or to what I was learning in school. After high school, I went to Baylor University, which is a Baptist university in Waco, Texas. I joined a sorority there, and at Baylor, a sorority is not like a sorority at a secular university, from what I'm told. We had pledged class Bible studies, we had no sorority houses, we had no drinking. Girls would rush their friends, they would be trying to get them into Tridelt, and they would use the phrase, "She loves the Lord," or "She has such a servant's heart." It was surreal, really. Truly, there were so many sweet, sweet girls in Tridelt, and actually throughout the Greek system at Baylor. However, the people I met at Baylor, and particularly in Tridelt, brought to mind a number of questions for me in addition to the atheist questions I still couldn't get out of my head. Some of the most vocal people I knew were deeply in love with Jesus. Some of them claimed, in fact, to be dating Jesus. And I always thought, well, how are you going to break up? It's so awkward. But they seemed to, at the same time, have a really shallow knowledge of their Bibles. The kind of Christianity I encountered at Baylor didn't answer the questions I had about God's existence and what his existence had to do with how the world ran. Rather, the Christianity I saw among my peers was emotionally and experientially based. It sometimes seemed like whoever expressed the most emotion about Jesus was the best Christian. So I tried that for a while, and it was a total failure. I am not that sweet, and I don't cry that much. That was frustrating. And since I hadn't spent any time learning practical Christianity, I had no godly way to handle all these frustrations. And there were many. Well, as you can imagine, this quickly became a mess. I attended a Christian college conference. It was a college student conference about this time. And that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. The conference was appropriately entitled Passion, which should have told me not to go. About 5,000 students came together in Austin, Texas, and it seemed like all of them were crying the whole time. And I never knew why they were crying, but they were crying. And I thought, if this is who God expects me to be, and if these people are right about what God is like, then I'm out. Thankfully, at that same conference, John Piper was speaking, and he made me think about Christianity in a way I never had before. That intrigued me, so I picked up a book of his in the school library, and I still remember it. It was, at that time, the hardest book I'd ever read about Christianity. It was The Justification of God, an exegetical and theological study of Romans 9. So it wasn't exactly a light read. I hated his Calvinist views and the idea that I wasn't in the driver's seat with God, but I loved having to think about what I was reading. According to John Piper, God was actually bigger than my experiences, which you think I would have known, but I didn't. Govern the world here and now, and he was, perhaps, smarter than my atheist friends. I determined to study until I figured it out, but the problem was I decided to conduct my study of Christianity and God without prayer and with a lot of bitterness about all my experiences. I thought if I were to pray, that would somehow skew what I was learning, which was really stupid. The next summer, I went to Le Brie in Switzerland, and there I met people who believed that the Bible applied to art and literature and every subject you could study. And that was a totally new concept to me. I loved it. But I still had so many doubts. Can God's existence be proven? How can this really tripped me up, and it seems odd that it would, but how can the Bible be true if Jesus and Paul thought Jesus was coming back again in short order and he still hasn't come? There are all kinds of questions like that. And I was increasingly, I didn't have any post-millennial teaching, and I was increasingly bitter at people with their easy faith, and at my, and I was pretty much actually bitter at everyone and everything. I knew I was a sinner, and I felt guilty for all those questions, but I couldn't handle what I perceived as the Christian life of one emotional high after another. Over the next several years, I read a whole lot about Christianity, including the Bible, obviously, and I also read the Quran, some excerpts from Buddhist and Hindu scriptures, and some books by atheists. I had been pre-med through undergrad, but by this point in my life, I thought my life had no purpose, so I decided I'd rather not spend 10 years in school. I decided instead to go to Duke and get a law degree and a master's of theological studies. What I actually wanted to do was go teach English as a foreign language, and I called my parents and told them this, and they said, oh, that's interesting. And then they thought they hung up the phone, but they didn't, and they said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Can you believe that's what she wants to do? And so I didn't do that. I went to Duke instead. So I thought this master's would be useful in answering my questions, but it was not. Many of the professors didn't seem to really believe God's word was inspired. In fact, one of them referred to God as sometimes God the Mother, sometimes God the Father. It was crazy. During this period, I did do my own study of the Bible, though, and concluded that if God were real, the Bible was clear that he was a sovereign, electing God, and everyone was a sinner. I also realized that although I couldn't prove God's existence in a way that would be sufficient for an atheist, I also couldn't prove my own existence, so perhaps something was wrong with my method of proof. At this point, I was bitter still, and angry, and confused, and miserable, and absolutely and totally self-absorbed. So, during my second year of law school, Heather Garraway, whom I had met a few years prior through a mutual friend, married Nate Wilson. And Heather and Nate were living in Annapolis, which is about a four-hour drive from Duke. I saw them a few times, and Heather very sweetly and strongly encouraged me to move to Moscow for a year. I had read Angels in the Architecture, which was fascinating, and it sounded like someone was actually really believing the Bible and applying it. And I hated law school from the very first day. In fact, I made a list of all the things I could do besides law school on the first day of school. So I was happy to take a year off. And that year, I audited classes from NSA, and I also met with Doug regularly. In the first meeting I had with him, he said, well, I won't answer any of your questions until you repent of your bitterness. I was appalled. But by God's grace, I did repent. And then it was like someone turned on the lights. I still had heaps of questions, but repentance made it possible to find the answers. And I began to see that the whole Bible makes sense. All that Bible knowledge I'd stored up for over the years finally fit into a cohesive story. I stopped the frantic and miserable searching, and I started trying to absorb as much as I could about a God who is sovereign and kind and good and faithful. I was relieved, and I was finally at peace. And thus began what should probably be called the happily ever after part of my story.